We are just so wired to long for relationship. We've been made that way. It's who we are. We were in Irmindale, Iowa, the last couple of days, hanging out with our family. Two of our younger kids came back with us to hang out with us Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. My wife and I together. I mean, being together with family and being with people you love in the place you love, you would go out of your way. You would just go absolutely, you would just go crazy to get to where you need to go. You would drive through a blizzard. I've done it. I've driven through a blizzard to get with family on Christmas Eve. And I would say that we have relationships that are so important to us that there isn't anything that we wouldn't do to get there. God wired us that way. There's something really sweet about Christmas in relation to our Creator, in that you and I, we stop and we wonder, and I pray you never lose the wonder of this season, by the way. But we don't look and go, well, there's probably a designer out there somewhere. We say, there is a God. You know, the question that we have, though, a lot of us, is does that God, though, show up on my doorstep? Is he a personal God? I mean, I feel very few people this time of year don't have a sense that there is someone that is the creator of this entire universe that has a plan for all things. But we just wonder if he's personal. And I think that's maybe part of your journey. I grew up going to church, and I attended church, and I really went to Sunday school occasionally, and there were things that I did. I was in youth group, and sometimes I actually got kicked out of youth group in like seventh grade. My poor youth workers, I apologize to them. If they ever catch up with me, they'll never, ever believe that I'm a pastor. There's no way. But I grew up in church thinking I just needed to be good. And there's nothing wrong with being good, is there? There's nothing wrong with doing the right things. There's nothing wrong with showing up in church or going to youth group. But what I thought is that that's what brought me into a right relationship with God. But then I got into God's Word, and I began to read His Word, and His Word was very different than that. God's Word told me that this God had invaded time and space with His Son, but that I had a decision to make. I had to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the only way that I could come into a personal relationship with Him. And I want you to know that when I was 17 years old, my life was totally transformed. Somebody shared this kind of truth with me, what I'm sharing with you right now, about God's letter, about His personal communication with me. And I began to understand. His Holy Spirit opened my heart, and I began to understand who He is. And I received Him as my Savior and Lord. And then as I go to Luke chapter 2 and I read things like the story of the birth of Christ, it takes on a whole new light. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." That every single person who can hear my voice or can is in any Christmas Eve service anywhere, can hear the voice of one reading this truth, knows that they have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with this God. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." You know what's awesome about this God? God's Word says He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. And a lot of times we get mixed up because we see people that claim to know God, and what they're doing is they're just condemning other people. But this God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to what? But to save the world, to redeem the world, to forgive, and to bring an incredible life that you and I could not have outside of His Son. He came as a baby because He needed to live that perfect life, and He needed to go to the cross as one who lived a perfect life, never sinned, so that He could be the sacrifice for our sin. But I want you to think about these letters that you're about to hear. I told you we're going to have personal letters read to you, and I want you to really connect with one of them. And I'm going to begin, and I have others on our staff who are going to come up, and they're going to read. The first one I'm going to read is addressed to anyone here tonight who feels guilty. Maybe you feel like, you know what, the last place I should be is church tonight. You don't know what my year looked like. I want to address you, if that's you. And I'm going to read as if I'm reading a letter from God to you. And then we're going to have other letters read, and we're going to tell you what they are addressing. And I want you to say yes to one of them if it connects with your heart. Let's face it, dear guilty one, what you did was wrong, and you know it. And I know it. But you should know that we can get to the solution side of the problem right here and now. 2,000 years ago, my son was beaten and crucified to atone for the kinds of wrong you just did. When they were done with him, it was done for you. The price was paid in full. Your job now is to humbly appropriate his payment for your wrongdoing and recognize that you are powerless to do this for yourself. Then thank him from the bottom of your heart, and those who do find forgiveness and freedom. It will be the best gift you receive this Christmas. And you know the best part about it? It's one size fits all, and you never have to return it, dear guilty one.
Dear lonely one, it's not good to be alone. I used those very words right after I created the first human being, and they apply to you as well. I created you to live with a longing for deep community. So when you feel the piercing pain of isolation, as you feel now, be sure of this. I see your loneliness. I hear your cries of frustration late into the night. And this I promise, human hearts, hands, and voices will reach out to you. Until then, know that I am with you always. Never more than a conversational prayer away. And I love you.
Dear hurried one, when I look your way, I see a blur of frenzied activity and a trail of exhaustion and frustration that follows your life. You whisper with greater frequency every day, I don't want to keep living my life like this. I don't want you to keep living like this. Here's the good news this Christmas. You don't have to. Listen closely, hurried one. What you are looking for will never come your way by adding velocity, pleasing more people, or putting more into your schedule. Deep down, you are looking for me, your creator. Deep down, you are looking for green pastures and still waters, and I can lead you there and teach you over time how to live there. Trust me, hurried one, before it is too late. Trust me.
Dear self-reliant one, I know you find this hard to believe, but I love your strength and your sense of self-discipline. I'm the one who made you that way, remember? But there is a problem. You've leveraged those strengths and talents without ever acknowledging their source. You've taken my gifts and built yourself a life and left me out in the cold. That was never the plan. Please listen, strong one. I have plans for your future that will blow you away. Good plans, exciting plans. But there's no room in your self-reliant heart for my grace and my strength to operate. So I'm asking you to make room for me this very day. You don't have to cry uncle and admit defeat, but you could cry father and then experience the greatest joy of your life. How about it, strong one?
Dear blessed one, I am beside myself with joy over your joy. All heaven rejoices with your happiness. The new healthy baby, the rekindled relationship, the holiday romance, the material blessings. Never forget that all good and perfect gifts come from above. Now, revel in my goodness. Drink freely from the wells of my grace. There is a time for dancing, so this Christmas, just dance. And one more note, for those of you who have chosen to trust me throughout this whole year, you have kept your eyes focused on me and your ears attentive to my voice. Well done, trusting one. Well done.
Oh, my dear one, with health challenges, you never thought your body would betray you like this, did you? For so many years, you could use it and abuse it, and it bounced back by morning. But this time it's different, and it's terrifying, isn't it? I want you to know that I understand about the limitation of human bodies. My scripture teaches that bodies are temporary dwellings that eternal spirits inhabit for a time here on this earth. Be grateful that perfected bodies await all my followers on the other side. No more aches and pains, no more scalpels, no more needles, no more chemotherapy, ever. But know this, between now and then, whatever disease invades your external flesh, it has no power over you, over the place that I inhabit in you. I will keep you steady through this ordeal. We will all make it to the other side safely someday. I promise you that. Never forget the ultimate hope of heaven.
Dear Wandering One, I know that it was never your intention to abandon your faith and wind up in the spiritual rut you find yourself in this Christmas. But here you are, filled with regret, very far from home. I have good news for you. You can come home tonight, really. As tough as it's been for me to watch you lose your way over the years, I will be overjoyed watching you take that first step toward home. And I'll do better than just leave the light on for you. I'll be running full speed in your direction the moment you come into sight. What a Christmas this is going to be. So come home soon, my son. Come home soon, my daughter. I'm waiting for you.
I want you to, just for a moment, I want you to hear those again. And you can just, between you and God, maybe if you agree with one of those, you can just say yes. The guilty one, or lonely one, or hurried, or self-reliant, or maybe you're very blessed and this year has been incredible. Maybe there's been a medical challenge or you found yourself wandering from God. And whatever it is, I want to invite you to just say, yes, God, that's your letter to me. You needed to say that to me tonight. Now, I needed to hear that. That was something that was very, very personal. The letter that my wife wrote to me, the letter that my kids wrote to me, each of them, those were personal letters to me. And I want you to know that God's word is a personal message to you. And it's written so that you might understand and might know him and might know his son. And in the message of the incarnation of Christ, we find that he says, God says, and he announces the birth of his son, that he might come and save his people from their sins, something we could not accomplish on our own. But he does, in space and time, meet the deepest needs that you and I have. And the most important one is finding forgiveness in him. And I want to invite you tonight to just pray. I'm going to close this time in prayer. We're going to head into a time of family greeting that we do each year, at least since I've been here. It's really a sweet time. Then we're going to sing Silent Night, light the candles, and we're going to sing one more song, and you'll be on with your family gatherings tonight. But I want you to know that because Jesus Christ has transformed every single area of my life, I stand here as a testimony, and I hope to you in your life that as you surrender your life to him, he will literally, he's transformed my marriage, my relationship with my kids, the way that I relate to other people, the way that I look at life with purpose and meaning and hope and encouragement. And God gives us that assurance in his son. But most importantly, I know that when my life is over, I know exactly where I'm going. I know that I will spend my eternity with my God, my creator, because I have believed on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity on Christmas 2016. As a pastor, I've had people through the years say, I've come to know Christ at a Christmas Eve service, or I've recommitted my life, or we recommitted in our marriage or in the raising of our kids to put God first, or we've been living as Christians following Christ, but we really got serious as we began a new year, and I want to give you that opportunity right now. Father, I thank you for the privilege of knowing you. I want to thank you for the gospel. It's so powerful. I thank you that when you showed up and your angels appeared, that it says the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the shepherds were fearful, and you told them, do not fear. And you tell us right now, don't fear, no matter how chaotic the world gets, no matter how difficult things around us get. And Lord, I pray right now that we will hear your word where it says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And as we see that baby, that we will see that is your letter to us, your gift to us of a Savior, the forgiveness of our sins, new life in you, and purpose and hope. And so, Lord, right now, we just pray, and whatever letter maybe somebody was able to relate to tonight, God, I pray that you'd minister to their hearts, that they would know that you knew they would be here and that you knew their pain, or you knew even the joy that they were experiencing, and they could share it with you, Lord. You know everything about them. And I just pray, God, that you'd meet each and every person here, and especially those who don't know Christ in a personal way. Maybe today could be an opportunity for them to say, forgive me. Forgive my sin. I want to follow Christ. I believe on his name. I believe that he was given as Savior of the world. And I receive him as my Savior and my Lord. And I want to follow him into the new year. And Lord, I know that if somebody has prayed that prayer tonight, that they have become a follower of Christ. And that this Christmas, they can plant a stake in the ground and they can now know that they are right with their holy God. God, I praise you for that and I thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.